From the college campuses of Indiana University in Bloomington, Indiana, and Smith College in Northampton, Massachusetts, the National Broadcasting Company presents the College Quiz Bowl. Tonight, transcribed, the varsity scholars of Indiana University are out to challenge the newly crowned champions from Smith College, who last week upset the 7-week quiz bowl rule of Brown University. And here in Radio City, New York, is your master of the quiz, Alan Ludden.
Hi there, everybody. It's nice to have you with us for another Battle of the Undergraduate Brains. Let's first look in on the new champions on the Smith campus. Jim Strong of Station WTIC in Hartford, Connecticut, is the referee for the Smith team tonight. Are you there, Jim?
Right here, Alan, and with me is the Smith team, still excited about last week's victory over Brown. Here they are to say hello.
Ann Murphy, Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Sydney Howard, New York City.
Wendy McEnany, Princeton, New Jersey.
Linda Wofsey, Stamford, Connecticut.
Okay, there you have the Smith team. Now, let's move out to Bloomington, Indiana, to meet the challengers from the University of Indiana. On hand to serve as Indiana's referee is Wally Nerling of Station WIRE in Indianapolis. Is the Indiana team all ready to go, Wally?
They most certainly are, Alan. Here they are to introduce themselves.
Fred Wilt, Napanee, Indiana.
Steve Polakoff, Shelbyville, Indiana.
Jerry Maddox, Muncie, Indiana.
Janet Jackson, Indianapolis, Indiana.
Okay, we've met both teams. Now, before Dick Dudley explains our quiz bowl rules, may I point out that we recognize full well that in putting the emphasis here in the College Quiz Bowl on the quick recall of specific facts, we're pointing up only one of the objectives of a real college education, and we're likewise trying to give you an opportunity to meet a few of the many remarkable, well-rounded personalities to be found on every American campus. Okay, Dick, how about those rules?
Right, Alan, here they are. Alan Ludden asks the toss-up question worth 10 points, and the first team to signal it knows the answer gets a chance to answer it. When Smith College signals, you'll hear, and when Indiana University signals, you'll hear, by means of a special electronic selector, the team which signals first, even by a split second, activates its light right here in New York City and makes it impossible for the other team's light to flash. If a team gives a wrong answer to the toss-up question, then the other team is given a chance to answer it. And whichever team gives the right answer gets a bonus question worth a stated number of points. Now, the team with the most points at the end of the game is the winner and returns next week to defend its title in the College Quiz Bowl.
Thank you, Dick. Now, remember, teams, you may interrupt a toss-up question before I've finished asking it, but if you do, and if your answer is wrong, your team will be penalized 5 points, and I will repeat the question, giving the other team a free crack at it. Okay, those are the rules, and there's the opening whistle, so let's go. For 10 points, here is a toss-up question. If you get it right, you'll have a chance at a 40-point bonus. Here is the first toss-up for 10 points. Where is Timbuktu? Indiana.
Jerry Maddox.
Africa.
Right, for 10 points. Africa. Located in French West Africa, Timbuktu. Okay, Jerry Maddox, for Indiana, you have now a 40-point bonus, and I want to tell you that you all on the team may work together. And since this is the Valentine season, we'd like now for you to think about hearts for just a moment. I'm going to describe 4 works of literature with heart in each title. And you're going to get 10 points each time you tell us both the work and its author. Okay, for 10 points first, a 1917 play by an English playwright dealing with the failures of the 20th century. Anybody on the Indiana team? Time, it is Heartbreak House by George Bernard Shaw. Okay, you can still make 30 points if you'll tell us now for 10 points. Next, a very short horror story published in 1843.
The Telltale Heart.
Oh, you're right, by an American writer. Boy, you're right for 10 points, Indiana. Who was that?
That was Jerry Maddox.
Okay, Jerry, Telltale Heart by Edgar Allan Poe. You got it before I even finished it, okay? Now listen very carefully. There's 10 more points for you here if you'll tell us the title of a long short story published in 1902 by an English writer of Polish heritage. 1902, an English writer of Polish heritage. Time, Heart of Darkness by Joseph Conrad. Okay, you can still make 10 points if you tell us now the title of a first novel published in 1940 by an American female novelist and short story writer. Go on.
Our Hearts Are Young and Gay.
What?
Our Hearts Are Young and Gay.
No, I'm sorry. The date is 1940. American female novelist and short story writer is Carson McCullers, and the heart is a lonely hunter. Incidentally, you don't have to signal on a bonus question. It's all yours, okay? The score, though, you got 20 points on that. Now, here we go back to a toss-up question. The toss-up question. This most Spanish of America, of painters, most Spanish of painters, was actually Indiana?
Jerry
Francisco
Maddox.
Goya.
What was that?
Francesca Goya.
No, oh. I'm sorry, Indiana. You interrupted a toss-up question. You are penalized 5 points because you did not give the correct answer. I will now repeat the entire question for Smith alone. But you must answer it precisely and quickly, Smith. This most Spanish of painters was actually born on the Isle of Crete.
And Murphy, Alan.
El Greco.
Okay, you don't want the whole question. All right, you're right for 10 points. El Greco. I was going to ask, what was his name? We'll accept El Greco. Okay, now, for that Smith College, you've got a 20-point bonus. A quick one. Here it goes. One day in March 1738, the members of the House of Commons in Great Britain gravely inspected a pickled object and quickly declared war on Spain. 20 points if you can tell us what was this object that actually started a war.
Anne Murphy, Alan.
Was that Jenkins's ear?
That's Jenkins's ear. That's right. It was a pickled ear. The War of Jenkins' Ear was provoked by the captain of the Spanish Coast Guard who disfigured Captain Jenkins and who was in command of the British blockade runner. Okay, you got... Now, before we move along to another toss-up question, let's move over here and find out what the stakes are in this quiz game. Dick Dudley?
Each week, NBC will award to the school of the winning team a $500 gift to be administered by the college. It may go to a scholarship fund or to a campus activity. And each member of the losing team will receive an attractive, dependable Whitner wristwatch, a distinguished member of the Longines Whitner family of fine watches, since 1866, makers of watches of the highest character. Now, those are the stakes, and now with just 20 minutes to go and the score Smith 30, Indiana 15, we go back to a toss-up question, eh, Alan?
Yep. Here we go with a toss-up question for 10 points. Can you tell us the former occupations of John Louis Barrow and Arnold Cream? Indiana.
Jerry Maddox.
Wait a minute. Arnold Cream, former occupation?
All right. Can you take it, Smith? Can you take it, Smith?
We'll try. Sidney Howard.
Were they actors?
No. They were both prize fighters. Arnold Cream is the real name of Jersey Joe Walcott, and John Louis Barrow is the name of Joe Lewis, who was born... that's the name John Lewis was born with. Okay, here we go. We're going back to a toss-up question for 10 points. Tell us, what philosopher had as his criterion of moral goodness the greatest happiness of the greatest number? Smith.
Wendy McInerney.
Jeremy Bentham.
Right, Jeremy Bentham. All right, Smith College. Now, with that, you have a chance at a 30-point musical bonus. Now, here's a musical bonus on creatures that you might see in a farmyard. You're going to hear three folk tunes that for 10 points each, you were to name the animal mentioned in the title. Okay, here's the first one.
Raccoon and I don't care. Jimmy's raccoon and I don't care.
Blue-tailed fly.
Right, fly. Right for 10 points. Okay? Now tell us the name of the animal mentioned in the title of this one.
Swing your partner up and down.
Monkey chase the weasel.
The weasel. Weasel, that's right. Pop goes the weasel for 10 points. Oh, this is easy. Here we go. Find the name of the animal in this one.
Anne Murphy.
Can you take what was that?
Turkey and straw.
Right for 10 points. Turkey and straw. You took that out of left field, didn't you? Okay, what's the score now, Dick?
Well, it is now Smith College 70, Indiana 15, and we have 17 and a half minutes to go.
And here we go with a toss-up question. Alabama and Rhode Island are suing California Smith.
Ann Murphy.
Well, it's in the offshore oil cases.
That's right. That's the answer I was going to ask. Alabama and Rhode Island are suing California, Florida, Louisiana, and Texas, and we're going to give you 10 points if you'll tell us why, and the answer was the offshore oil cases or oil dispute. Okay, now, you have a 20-point bonus, Smith. It's a mathematical bonus. Get your pencils and paper. This
All
is
right,
worth
Alan.
20 points. You are to start with the year of the Battle of Waterloo. Add to that the number of blackbirds baked in a pie. That's all right. That's all right. That's the way to work it. And divide by the number of men on a horse in the John Holmes, George Abbott title. And give us...
613.
That's right.
Sidney Howard, Alan.
Oh, I was just going to tell you how long you had to do it, and you came up with the right answer. Let's run that down real quickly, Sidney. Would you give us the numbers you worked out there?
1815 was the Battle of Waterloo. Right. 420 blackbirds baked in a pie.
Yeah.
Comes out to 1839, divided by three men on a horse, gives 613.
That's right for 20 points. Okay, here now we go to another toss-up question, and you'll need pencil and paper, maybe here, so think and listen carefully. For 10 points, what number is represented in Roman numeral notation by M, C, D, X, C, I. Smith?
Linda Wopsey.
1493.
That's right, 1493. You know, I thought I was going to fool you. I thought you were going to say 1492. Okay, Linda, you got a chance now at a 30-point bonus. Let's see. This is quite an interesting one. You know, mountains have always challenged and inspired men, and many important events have occurred on mountains in fact, fiction, and legend. Now, for 5 points each, you are to tell us the answer to these questions. First of all, who dwelt on Mount Olympus?
The gods.
Right. The Greek and Roman gods. 5 points. Now, what city was buried by the eruption of Vesuvius?
Pompeii.
Right, for 5 points. Now, what biblical event took place on Mount Sinai?
Moses was given the Ten Commandments.
Right, for 10 points. Moses was given the Ten Commandments. 5 points, I mean. That's 5 points. All these are worth five. Pike's Peak or Bust was the slogan of what famous journey?
Toward the west.
What was the expedition?
Lewis and Clark? No.
That's right. For 5 points.
That was
Lewis and Clark.
Right?
That's right. Pike's Peak or Bust. Okay. Where was Hitler's hideaway?
Berchtesgaden.
All right, for 5 points. Now, you'll get them all if you answer this one for 5 points. What range of mountains are associated with a long sleep?
The Catskills.
The Catskills, right, for 5 points. Okay, what's the score now, Dick?
Well, it is now Indiana 15, but Smith has 140, and we have 14 and a half minutes to go.
Okay, you can still come up from behind Indiana, so on your toes. Now, we usually avoid trick questions here in the College Quiz Bowl, but frankly, this next toss-up question was picked with an effort to fool you. Now, we're going to play a record, and you are to signal as soon as you recognize the cleverly disguised voice of the singer. Smith.
Sidney Howard.
Right. Didn't fool you very long, did it? That was Joe Stafford singing Temptations. And you have a chance now, Smith, at a 20-point bonus. Thoreau, with his pen, immortalized Walden Pond in Massachusetts. You'll get 20 points now if you can tell us who has immortalized Hoosick River and Eagle Bridge in Upper New York State with a paintbrush. Anybody on the Smith team? Time, Grandma Moses. Okay, here we go now, back to a toss-up question. For 10 points, tell us, what generals faced each other at Gettysburg? No takers? No, I'll tell you, Robert E. Lee and George Gordon Meade at Gettysburg. Incidentally, Robert E. Lee reminds me that next week, Washington and Lee University meets the winner tonight. Okay, here we go back now to another toss-up question, and coming up is a 25-point bonus. For 10 points, what word meaning a cross or a crucifix spelled backwards is a portal?
H. Smith.
Wendy McEnany.
A rod spelled R-O-O-D.
That's right. A rod or a roof spelled R-O-O-D. Spelled backward is door, okay? Here we go now with a 25-point bonus for you, Smith colleagues. I'm going to describe the names of certain classical and popular musical conductors, and for 5 points each, you are to identify them. First, a conductor whose last name sounds like an urban center.
Edmund.
Metropolis?
That's right, Dimitri Metropolis. Okay, although his name is not spelled like Metropolis, okay? For 5 points, an orchestra leader whose last name denotes belief.
The Faith. Percy Faith.
Right, for 5 points.
Again.
Percy Faith. All right, now a conductor whose first name could denote an affiliation with the late lamented Brown University.
Bruno Walter.
Italian means Brown. Late lamented, of course, means only that they were with us until last week here in the College Quiz Bowl. Okay, next, an orchestra leader whose last name is the same as that of a famous female reformer. Hi.
Ray Anthony.
Okay. And now, did we get that? No, we didn't get that. All right. Here is a symphonic conductor whose last name is spelled the same as a word that means to chew with a crunching sound. You'll hate this.
Oh, Munch.
You got it right, Charles Munch. Okay.
All right, hold it, Alan. That's the halftime whistle, which calls for a 1 minute timeout.
All right, and during this timeout, it is our custom to spend the first 30 seconds with a challenging team each week. And so tonight, let's go out to Bloomington, Indiana to meet the members of the Indiana team and find out what they plan to do when they finish college. First of all, I'd like to speak to Janet Jackson because I notice it's Mrs. Janet Jackson, right?
That's right, Alan.
Janet, how long have you been a Mrs.?
Just since December.
Well, that's wonderful. Then you're a bride. Are you also a senior in college?
Yes, that's right.
And what are your plans after college?
Well, I think we are going into the Army.
Oh, you are?
Uh-huh.
You both are, huh? He is, and you're going to go with him, right?
That's right.
Okay. Jerry Maddox, what is your class in college?
I'm a junior, Alan.
Well, when you finish college, what do you plan to do?
Well, probably I'll go into graduate school.
Have any plans where?
No, I haven't made up my mind. There's several places, but I haven't decided yet.
Oh, there are a lot of wonderful colleges. Okay. Fred Wilt, are you a senior?
No, I'm a sophomore, Alan.
A sophomore? Well, that's wonderful. What do you plan to do when you finish college?
Oh, I hope to go to medical school in a few years.
Any plans for where?
Probably here at Indiana.
It's a wonderful medical school there. Now, let's meet Dee Polikoff. Polikoff, is that right,
Dee? That's right.
No. Dee, you are a senior, right?
That's right.
Your plans after college?
Yes, I hope to go to graduate school or law school.
Well,
I haven't decided where yet.
But you're all going to continue your education except for the lady who's going into the Army with her husband. All right? Let's move up now to Northampton, Massachusetts and meet this Smith College team. Sydney, I noticed in a sheet of paper I have here before me, Sidney Howard, that you are chairman of Rally Day, and I don't know what Rally Day is, and I think all of our friends would like to know what Rally Day is at Smith College in 30 seconds.
Well, Rally Day takes place up here every year on Washington's birthday.
What do you do?
And it is very important for a great many reasons. The seniors first get their robes on that day, which...
Do you wear them from now on?
Yes, we wear them over pajamas everywhere.
Oh, you do?
From that day on. Then in the morning, all the college assembles and we have a speaker. This year, Mr. Wilmot Lewis. And in the evening, the sophomores, juniors, and seniors each put on an original show, a musical review with dances, songs, lyrics, and script written by the girls.
Well, it's a wonderful day, huh?
Yes, it's
no
a big
school
day.
That day.
No school at all.
All right, that's fine. Now it looks like our time is up and it's time to get back to the game with a score.
Well, the score right now is Indiana University 15, Smith College 180, and about 8.5 minutes to go. So how about another toss-up question, Alan?
All right, here we go with a toss-up question. In sports parlance, tell us, for 10 points, what is the hot corner?
Oh.
Indiana.
Jerry Maddox, third base.
Right, for 10 points, the third base. Okay, Indiana, you've got a chance now at a 30-point bonus question. It happens to be a musical bonus. In the excerpts from three musical compositions that you're going to hear now, there is one theme running through the titles of all of them. They're different in style, different in subject matter, but they're similar in subject matter, rather. And that's the only clue you're going to get. Now, give us, for 10 points each, the correct title of these compositions. 10 points. Who was that?
That was Janet Jackson.
Janet. Thanks for 10 points. All right, now, there is a similar theme in this music. What is the title?
Midsummer Night's Dream?
No. You may correct yourself on a bonus question. Water Sweet Music by Handel. The Water Sweet Music by Handel. All right, then you're beginning to get the theme. Now, what's the title of this one?
La Mer.
That's right, La Mer by Claude Debussy. Okay, here we go now to a toss-up question. 10 points. If you know the name of the first famous orator who corrected his enunciation and stamped Smith...
Wendy McEnany.
Demosthenes.
That's right. 10 points. 10 points before I finished asking it. I was going to say who corrected his enunciation and stammering by speaking with a mouthful of pebbles. And you knew what I was asking and told us Demosthenes before I even got to ask it. All right, Smith, here's your bonus. With the word game Scrabble currently so popular, we thought it was about time we had a word question. So here goes for 20 points. We want you to rearrange these scrambled letters to form an accepted English word. Now, you may use pencil and paper, but you have only 10 seconds after I have given you all of the letters. Now, here they are. T, as in Tom. O, A, R, as in Robert. A, 10 seconds. T, O, A, R, A. Time. The word is aorta, the largest artery leading from the heart. Did I hear you say that, whisper?
No.
Okay, here we go back now to a toss-up question with a score 190, Smith, 45, Indiana. The 10-point question is coming up. We have 5.5 minutes to go. For 10 points, by what more familiar name do we know the weaver of Ravolo?
Silas Marner.
That was Linda Watson.
That's right, Linda. For 10 points, The Weaver of Ravelo is Silas Marner, the novel by George Eliot. Here we go with a 20-point bonus. This is a question on partners. If I ask you the famous partner of William Clark, you'd say Meriwether Lewis. Probably you'd say it before I ask it. Okay. Now, for 5 points each, I want you to tell us who are the well-known partners of, first, Richard Steele.
Addison.
Joseph Addison, right, for 5 points. Who's the famous partner of Lou Fields? Lou Fields. Time, Joseph Weber. Weber and Fields were a famous vaudeville team. Okay, now think carefully. Who is the very famous partner of Frank Smith?
His brother. the other Smith.
Sergeant Joe Friday in the Dragnet Investigator. Okay, for 5 points, who is the very famous partner of Frederick Engels?
Marx.
Karl Marx. Together they wrote the Communist Manifesto. Okay, here we go back now to a toss-up question for 10 points. Are you there, Indiana?
Right.
Oh, here we go now. For 10 points, tell us, what do John Taylor, Aaron Burr, and Harry Truman, Indiana?
Janet Jackson.
I'm wrong. I was going to say they're all traitors, but that's not
true. No, that would hardly be right, and you're penalized 5 points, because I'm going to finish the question for Smith. Tell us, what do John Taylor, Aaron Burr, and Harry Truman have in common?
Ann Murphy.
They were all vice presidents.
They were all vice presidents of the United States, right, for 10 points. Here we go now. Here we go now with a bonus question. Ms. Smith, colleague, here's a bonus question for 15 points. Now, if you were asked to describe a centaur, would you call it rosario, ungulate, or piscatore?
Would you repeat that?
Would you call it rosario, ungulate, or piscatore?
Not an ungulate. An ungulate?
Did I hear an answer? Quick.
I think ungulate.
You thought right. Ungulate means hoofs, and therefore would describe centaur, which was a mythological character, half horse, half man. Piscatory refers to fishes, and rosario refers to scratching on the ground for food like a hen or other bird. Okay, here we go now back to a toss-up question for 10 points. Name the Name the medieval hero who was killed in the Battle of Roncesvalles. Smith.
Anne Murphy.
Roland.
Right, Roland. You have now a 25-point bonus, Smith. Ebb Tide, the song that was for so long on top of the hit parade, is a very famous title. Now, for 25 points, we want you to name the famous English author of a novel. This is yours anyway,
no.
Smith. Of an English author of a novel called The Ebb Tide.
Well,
you were so eager there. The author, the English author of the novel. What was it?
Wolf.
Speak up. Here we go. The time's up.
Virginia Woolf?
No. Robert Louis Stevenson wrote it, The Ebb Tide, in collaboration with Lloyd Osborne. Here we go back down to a toss-up question. For 10 points, what man was born in Pennsylvania, painted in the United States and England, constructed a submarine in Paris, and built a steam warship for the United States government? Indiana.
Robert Fulton.
Jerry Maddox.
Right, Jerry Maddox. Robert Fulton. For 10 points. And you got a 30-point bonus, Indiana. The daughter, work carefully on this one, the daughter of William Jennings Bryan, aside from her father's political fame, held a distinctive position in American public life. Now, you're going to get 30 points if you can name that position. The daughter of William Jennings Bryan. Anybody on the Indiana team?
D. Pollicott. D, do you have it?
No, I don't have it. Was she in any way connected with Teddy Roosevelt's
family? All right, time has been called. She was the first woman appointed foreign minister by the United States. Okay, with a minute to go, here's a toss-up question. Tell us, for 10 points, what is the concern of an ichthyologist? Smith.
Linda Wolsey.
Fish.
Fish, right. Okay, Smith, you got a 15-point bonus here. In the famous story of Snow White, there were 7 dwarves. Now, you're going to get 15 points if you can name all 7 in 15 seconds.
Grumpy, Dopey, Sneezy, Happy, Doc.
Now, just a minute. Grumpy, Dopey, Sleazy, Sneezy, Happy, Doc. That's 6. Okay, here we go back to a toss-up question. For 10 points, what opera by Verdi is based on Shakespeare's The Merry Wives? Smith.
Wendy McEnany.
Can you take
Ann
it?
Murphy.
Can you take it, Indiana?
Yeah, I think we can. Fred Wills?
Sure.
Finish the question, please.
All right. What, based on Shakespeare's The Merry Wives of Windsor, the answer was Falstaff, okay?
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, but that's it. Time's up. Sorry, Alan, the game is over for this week, and the final score in the College Quiz Bowl tonight is Indiana has 50 points and 250 for the winner, Smith College. Yeah. Now, to each member of the Indiana team, it's our pleasure to award an attractive and dependable Whitner wristwatch, a distinguished member of the Longines Whitner family of fine watches. Since 1866, makers of watches of the highest character. For fielding the winning team tonight, Smith College will receive a $500 gift to be administered by the college. And these varsity scholars from Smith will return next week to compete in this new All-American quiz game with the varsity scholars of Washington and Lee University at Lexington, Virginia. Well, now, here once again is your master of the quiz, Alan Ludden.
Well, I want to congratulate those girls at Smith College. You did a wonderful job, and I want to say to the team from Indiana University, you did a wonderful job. I want to say congratulations to Mrs. Janet Jackson, Jerry Maddox, Fred Wilt, and Dee Polikoff. You were all wonderful. Now, next week, Smith College meets Washington and Lee. And in the following weeks, we'll have varsity scholars from the University of Chicago, Princeton University, and other outstanding colleges and universities all over the country. So be with us next week and every week for an exciting quiz game here in the College Quiz Bowl. This is Alan Ludden saying now, so long, everybody.
Your referees tonight were, for Smith College, Jim Strong, station WTIC, Hartford. For Indiana University, Wally Nerling of station WIRE, Indianapolis. College Quiz Bowl is a transcribed NBC Radio Network production originated and produced by John Moses and Don Reed, directed by Ken McGregor. This is Dick Dudley speaking.